Good morning, everyone. You are very welcome to St. Stephen's Green Unitarian Church. Welcome to you watching on our webcam, and welcome to you if you're listening to the service through our website recordings page. As Denise said, my name is Gavin Byrne, and I am a proud member of this congregation. So to begin our service, let us open number 442 in our hymn books. And together, let us welcome each other into our sacred space. I will read what is in the regular text, and then we will all read together what is in italics. Number 442. We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart, who come in an anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome, who are seekers of a new faith, who come to probe and explore, who come to learn. We bid you welcome, who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this people a family. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are on your journey, we bid you welcome. Our opening words are from Cathal Courtney. The starting point of beloved community is not to be found in theology, in person, or in a God. It is to be found wherever you are, whatever you are, and whenever you are. Its starting point is in our experience of being human, cast upon the earth together in this particular moment in time, with a fundamental need to find the hope that might sustain our lives. So today we celebrate and explore the beloved community, and we give thanks for all the gifts we have received from each other. We seek to strengthen the bonds that bind us together, and we warmly welcome those who seek a community where they can explore their belief and unbelief in freedom and love. By our presence here with one another, we acknowledge the sacred thread that unites us. One God, many faiths, one community, and many, many lives. And now we will light our chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, in celebration, in searching, and in love. This sacred space, which is gifted to us, is now alive with friendship, song, poetry, and the wisdom of many, many souls. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and be inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to all of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Amen. And now let us turn to the back of our hymn book. And this outlines the mission of our community. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls may grow in harmony with the divine, this do we covenant with each other and with God. And now let us sing. Our first hymn this morning is number 203, all creatures of the earth and sky. Let us pray. Holy Mother, Father, Creator of the universe, energy of creation, endless mystery of life, you are the music that sounded before our world was born, sound and silence woven throughout the ages, far beyond the most profound wisdom humanity has been able to touch. Be with us. Deepen our willingness to live without certainty, to take the risks of living on the edges of our creativity, to step beyond the boundaries of possibility and hope. Help us always to remember that we are in our essence the magic of star stuff, that we are kin to all that is and was and may yet come to be. Teach us to temper our impatience, to retain our conviction that what we do and say makes a difference, that even our smallest act can contribute to the good of the greater whole. Be with us in our uncertainties and rejoice with our small triumphs. Comfort my losses, but remind me that I am never alone, not in my joys or in my tears. In the blessed company of my friends, my family, and my community, may I feel your presence, something greater than I have yet been able to comprehend. Amen. Our first reading this morning will be read by Paul Murray.
From this wonderful book, Spiritual Literacy, there's a section in it on community, with some very appropriate comments on the whole idea of a community, whether it's in a church, in a village, or in a country. And I'll just give you a few of them. The moving finger of God in human history points ever in the same direction. There must be community. Howard Thurman. Community means different things to different people. To some, it is a safe haven where survival is assured through mutual cooperation. To others, it is a place of emotional support with deep sharing and bonding with close friends. Some see community as an intense crucible for personal growth. And for others, it is primarily a place to pioneer their dreams. Martin Luther King said, "In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All people are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny." And somebody called Starhawk said, "Somewhere there are people to whom we can speak with passion without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere a circle of hands will open to receive us. Eyes will light up as we enter, voices will celebrate with us whenever we come into our own power." Community means strength that joins our strength, to do the work that needs to be done. Arms to hold us when we falter. A circle of healing, a circle of friends, somewhere where we can be free. From the book Spiritual Literacy. Thank you.
Now, at this stage in our service, we have the children's and young people's story, and we would invite the children and young people to sit at the front, but we're all children today, so you can stay where you are. Does anyone know where rivers come from? A source. Brilliant. Brilliant. Anyone else? Yes. You're all right. So they're normally born maybe in hills or mountains. They begin as small trickles of water, and then they grow and widen sometimes into great bodies of water. So I'm going to tell the story of two rivers, and we don't have a name for them. Maybe we'll imagine if the Boyne and the Liffey ran side by side. So once upon a time, there were two rivers flowing side by side. Both rivers liked to argue about who was the best. "The water in my river is better than the water in your river," said one. "Not at all. The water in my river is much better than the water in your river," said the other. And the two rivers would flow along all day arguing about which river was the best. And both were quite sure that they were the greatest, the wettest, the clearest, the cleanest. "Just listen to the beautiful sounds my water makes as it runs over the smooth, polished pebbles at my bottom. And look at the way the sun reflects off my water. These things are so beautiful. Surely I am the best river." And the other replied, "But look at all the fish that swim in my clear, cool water. And have you heard the frogs singing at night? They live in the reeds and the lilies grow at my banks. I am home to so many wonderful creatures. I am home to the beautiful swans, while you're only fit for the ugly ducklings. Surely I must be the very, very best river." So the two continued to argue until one day, something strange and unexpected happened. The rivers rounded a bend, slid down small falls, and suddenly they saw flowing toward them something bigger and greater than themselves. And what do you think they saw? Yes. Up ahead were big crashing waves and water everywhere as far as the eye could see. And they continued to rush faster and faster until the water of both of the rivers churned together into the vast, enormous ocean. And then a voice came from the ocean. It came from a soaring wave that chuckled for a moment and then said, "Now do you see how pointless it was arguing about who was the best? There is no highest and there is no lowest. There is no greatest and there is no least. For all things are one. And all things are joined together like rivers in the sea." Now let us sing once more number 36, "When in Our Music God is Glorified." My reading is called "I Want to Be with People" by Dana E. Worsop. Often, people say that they love coming to a place with so many like-minded people. I know just what they're getting at, and I know that they aren't getting it quite right. I don't want to be with a bunch of people who think just like me. I want to be in a beloved community where I don't have to think like everyone else, to be loved, to be eligible for salvation. I want to be with people who value compassion, justice, love, and truth, though they have different thoughts and opinions about all sorts of things. I want to be with independent-minded people of good heart. I want to be with people who have many names and no names at all for God. I want to be with people who see me in my goodness and my dignity, who also see my failings and my foibles, but who still love me. I want to be with people who feel their interconnection with all existence and let it guide their footfalls upon the earth. I want to be with people who see life as a paradox and don't always rush to resolve it. I want to be with people who are willing to walk the tightrope that is life and who will hold my hands as I walk mine. I want to be with people who let church call them into a different way of being in the world. I want to be with people who support, encourage, and even challenge each other to higher and more ethical living. I want to be with people who inspire one another to follow the call of the Spirit. I want to be with people who covenant to be honest, engaged, and kind, who strive to keep their promises and hold me to the promises that I make. I want to be with people who give of themselves, who share their hearts and minds and gifts. I want to be with people who know that human community is often warm and generous, sometimes challenging, but almost always a grand adventure. In short, I want to be with people like you. Our meditation today is an invitation to listen and reflect on these words, which are written especially for you today. So get comfortable in your seat. You may close your eyes if you like. Deep breaths to calm your body and calm your mind. You are loved beyond belief. You are enough. You are precious. Your work and your life matter, and you are not alone. You are part of an us, a great cloud of witnesses, living and dead, who have insisted that this beautiful, broken world of ours is a blessing worthy of both deep gratitude and fierce protection. Our ancestors and our descendants are beckoning us, compelling us onward toward a greater connection, greater compassion, greater commitment to one another and to the earth. Together, we are resilient and resourceful enough to say yes to that call, to make it our life's work in 1,000 different ways, knowing that we can do no other than bind ourselves more tightly together and throw ourselves into the holy work of showing up again and again to be part of building that world, a beloved community of which we dream and and which we have not yet seen. Thank you, Josh. As part of my ministry training, I have regular homework. I must keep a diary, and that diary is read, commented on, and is very much a pastoral experience. It's a diary not only of my progress, but a reflection on a number of questions. Questions on my understanding of my own vocation and spiritual practice. I'm asked to think about how I am managing my time, because while I study and complete assignments, I'm on placement with two churches in Northern Ireland, and I'm also working full-time. Self-care and compassion are also on the list, as are leadership and personal ethics. I'm also asked to reflect on how I am achieving or struggling with the 32 competencies. I must show evidence that I am achieving. I must show evidence that I've achieved these competencies in order to successfully complete the course and be added to the role of ministers. And then there is a section at the end called Matters Arising. Now, this is where I can outline particular challenges and indeed successes. And the whole exercise is entitled Taking Stock, and the process is called Reflective Practice. Now, this piece of homework is very cathartic, and it keeps me focused on what I'm at. It provides no hiding places, and it only works if I'm being honest. Now, I am almost halfway through my ministry training, so it's time to begin looking to the future and asking, where do I see myself in the future? Now, I believe my future will continue to be bound up with this Unitarian community. Whether it is this one or not, well, that is in your hands. But one thing I am certain of is this. Wherever I find myself, my vocation is to continue bearing witness to the Unitarian charism of the inherent goodness of humanity, the oneness of creation, and revelation is not sealed. The search for truth is our sacrament. Now, you've heard me mention spiritual practice, and before I go on, I want to offer you my understanding of that. I understand spirituality to be that sense of being connected to the universe and all that exists within it. Religion is how we attempt to talk about it, how we attempt to practice it, celebrate it, and God forbid, organize it. We like to add, of course, reason in our discourse. And we do so we don't fall into the pit of religious fundamentalism. So, what does the future hold for this or any Unitarian community? I wish to be part of it, as I know you do too. And how will we nourish it? How will we grow it? And how will we hold it together? So today, I'd like to reflect on the present and wonder about the future of our beloved community. I will also try to reclaim from the religious fundamentalists some key ideas and notions that might help. Theodore Parker was a leading Unitarian in New England, and he was a huge influence in the development of Unitarian theology in the 19th century. His preaching excluded him from what his biographer called friendly society because he opposed what he called the respectable evils of his day, particularly poverty, war, and slavery. And I'm going to try and follow Theodore's personal mission, which was, and I quote, "Preach nothing as religion that I have not experienced inwardly and made my own. I am a man of faith, but it is a faith without certainty, a faith that often seems so out of reach, I cannot always grasp it. I left the Roman Catholic Church, and I searched for somewhere I could be at home with my faith, and here is where I've landed. This is a vibrant community. Whether that is here on a Sunday morning for worship or gathered together on a warm Monday morning to celebrate a life lost or online at a meeting on a Tuesday evening or on Wednesday afternoon for quiet meditation or on a blustery Thursday thinking about last Sunday's address or traveling to meet someone you are supporting as part of our refugee resettlement program or on a Friday evening when the doors are open to welcome visitors to an intimate concert by a talented artist, or Saturday to witness love ceremony of a baby named or a couple married, or even on a Saturday while wandering together through the trees to a thin place by the stream. And you may add your own action as you live out your Unitarian faith. And you will hear more of those actions in our notices later on. I certainly wonder how we can invite people to come and experience this beloved community. I have heard so many of you articulate how relevant and meaningful this community is. I've heard so many of you articulate how relevant and meaningful this community is, how vital it is to some of you. I've heard you say that as many are searching for a spiritual house, a place where they can freely search for the sacred or question how the divine touches their lives. How do we reach them and invite them in? And many will also say, I do not hold that there is a God, certainly not the God I was told about. Yet here I stand in hope and searching. And we are all invited to take Walt Whitman's advice, to reject everything you were taught that insults your soul. Because we believe in life's goodness, we believe there is more to be learnt, and you know, here is just as good a place as any to undertake that life-giving project. I was spoken here before about the sacred thread that binds all of creation. Do we experience that sacred thread here? And do we try to live it beyond these four walls? This community seeks knowledge and freedom where the quest for truth is its sacrament. In my first address to this community, I spoke about hearing the minister outline what Unitarian theology holds, about the nature of God as one, how we understand Jesus as fully human and an extraordinary prophet, how we are not born as sinful creatures. We are an expression of the Creator's love, destined to love and be loved. That was the Unitarian response to the puritanical theology of Calvin or the old light Presbyterians. And we were illegal in our theology up to the early 19th century. And I'm sure many would like to outlaw it today. I only discovered recently that James Joyce said, and I quote, "There is no heresy or no philosophy which is so abhorrent to the church as a human being." Now, he wrote this as he was heading away from this country, despondent and disappointed. The Unitarian community is reclaiming language from the fanatics because religion and its language can provide us with a path to meaning in our lives. Now, I have said that Unitarians hold that revelation is not sealed, but what does that mean? I understand it to mean that our search for the sacred, our quest to live good and just lives, does not begin and end with the Christian and Hebrew scriptures. The piece of artwork under our gallery declares that. It includes sacred texts from traditions. It includes the wisdom of prophets, dreamers, artists, revolutionaries, and poets, atheists and agnostics. But crucially, it includes our life experience, our relationships with each other, and our communion with nature. There is so much that is holy and sacred beyond any written word or deeply held tradition. Does Scripture contain all we need in wisdom and insight? As a future minister, I will not hold to sola scriptura, Scripture alone. For all the reasons you have heard from this pulpit over many, many years, it is a valuable and exquisite exploration and history of people's search for truth. A theological treasure, yes, but written not by God, but by people, in cultures and circumstances not of this age. Our search for truth is not imprisoned in the past. Our particular form of religion doesn't take human experience and douse it with doctrines and dogmas taken from one collection of books, which, it has to be said, can be full of contradictions, dichotomies, even a vengeful and jealous God. My studies of Unitarian history and theology is something I am really treasuring, and it's a big reason why I'm here and wish to serve, compelled to share it. Now, one phrase has cropped up numerous times over the past while, and it is the beloved community. It was Josiah Royce, an American philosopher, who was credited with the term beloved community. And he used it to describe the form of human society that seeks to both honor the individual identity and its collective context. Martin Luther King also used the phrase, and he studied in the same institution as Royce. King said that the beloved community is the ethical meaning of the kingdom of God. And I will expand on that in a moment. But first, to reclaiming religious language. There are a lot of theological ideas and words that we don't use in our church very often, because we might associate them with a religious system that we have long ago left behind. But perhaps we can reclaim some of them. During one of the many workshops and sessions I've attended as a ministry student, the following question arose. As our church doesn't offer salvation, what do we offer? We don't sell eternal life through participation in sacraments, good works. If I gave you all a post-it pad and a pen and invited you to put your thoughts down, I am confident you would fill this wall with what is offered by this church, this beloved community. And I might suggest that salvation is indeed offered here. It is not the salvation traditionally promised by Christian churches, salvation in the sense of eternal life, a place in heaven. No, it is salvation now, a this-worldly salvation. Stephen Lingwood, Unitarian minister in Cardiff, describes it thus. Now, as I've said, much of Unitarian theology, as it began to develop, was in opposition to the Calvinist belief that humans are inherently sinful, depraved, and guilty of something all of the time. We are not blind to human weakness and our capacity for evil, but we do not see human beings as inherently depraved or corrupt. Salvation comes from the word salvus, which means healthy or whole. It is this worldly. So salvation for us, given our belief in the goodness first and foremost of humanity, is about striving for an abundant life for all, a life that is healthy and whole. In Luke's gospel, it is written, once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is within our grasp." And I think it is beloved community where salvation, wholeness, health can be achieved. Martin Luther King also said that the foundation of the beloved community is the divine indwelling that equally graces all people. The beloved community is perhaps where love finds its sacred expression. And I wonder how we can manifest this beloved community beyond these four walls. Gathering here on Sunday mornings is just one action of the beloved community. It is our weekly gathering, our coming together with our hopes, with our frustrations, our sadness, and our joy. Come, come, whoever you are. It is a place where we strengthen our connections, where we explore our values, which are often challenged. It is a place to hear new and old stories, and where our faith in the unity of creation can be expressed. We honor each other's belief and unbelief in God. We argue and we disagree. And then all of the other days of the week, as I've attempted to set out at the beginning of this address, flow from that. The beloved community goes to work. Service is our prayer. And one day, like Emerson, we may choose to step away with a glass half full, where I was free to search and question, I was loved and accepted. Because Emerson stepped away from his Unitarian community, because he concluded that all that was sacred could be found in nature, among all that is wild and perfect. That is where he chose to continue his search for God. Now, I do not want to sound all Pollyanna or naive about this. We recognize where the sacred thread that connects us is willfully severed or weakened. We also recognize when the beloved community is fractured or bombed to bits by the actions of a state actor or a terrorist movement. Yet every action produces a reaction or consequence. And in those cases, goodness goes to work despite the desperate circumstances. But also, so does ingrained hate, often lasting for generations. The witness of and actions of the beloved community must face these challenges. Let love continue long. Every community calls from among its own a minister. And in the beloved community, ministry, I believe, is about giving people an experience of the sacred, initiating conversations about the ultimate questions. What is the purpose of life? Why is there something rather than nothing? Ministry is giving comfort in impossible moments, and we have had those here, while accompanying all of us as we all seek an abundant and meaningful life, salvation. And ministry is about engaging people in conversations about that which touches us all, life, death, faith. And what the hell can we do about the suffering inflicted by men on the innocent? And while the minister is a theologian in residence, their job is to engage with people pastorally, to be a soul carer in residence, to provide emotional and social support, to be trauma-informed, which is understanding what hurts and what helps, to know that the person in front of them is in pain and to listen. And often unspoken words offered can be summed up as, you are loved, you are enough, but you must share your goodness and your gifts, but only when you can. A pastor rarely offers advice. How is your inner life coping with all that is external? How is your soul or the deepest part of you coping? In the beloved community, we share with one another honestly our brokenness, but also what makes us whole, so that the place I inhabit doesn't feel like I am under the wrong piece of sky. And the pastor needs a pastor. We need people to whom we can reveal what terrifies us. It might be us losing our mind or losing our life. It could be losing the love of my life or simply the debilitating anxiety I can feel. I'm nearly done. Thankfully, we have decided and declare that love is the doctrine of this church. And we love not in order to earn a place in the life hereafter, but because love is what nourishes the soul. It is salvation, it is health, it is wholeness. The life hereafter will come and God will look after that. When I think of love in these terms, I am reminded of a man who has spent his life working with the most marginalized people in our city. Something he said to me as I was starting out my career in youth work. He said young people who have had a truly tragic childhood and upbringing can be transformed by the experience of being loved. Falling in love for the first time can have a profound influence on them. Empathy, joy, purpose, and meaning suddenly come into view. And once they have grasped and accepted that love, their lives are changed. The real challenge, of course, is to grasp it, and accept it. Finally, for now, some questions for you before you question me. Have you experienced a significant change in your life through coming to this community? What does the future hold for this, our beloved Unitarian community? And how will we nourish it, grow it, and hold it together and contribute to building the beloved community in the world? Amen. Now let us sing our third hymn, which is number 410, Surprised by Joy, and after we will have the collection. Our notices. So do please join us for tea and coffee downstairs, and then we'll be back up here fairly lively. Thank you to all who contributed to today's service. Ayla, who prepared the church, Josh and Paul, who shared music and words, to those who welcomed us, for the flowers, the tea and coffee makers who are getting the hall ready downstairs. The Wednesday meditation led by Pam happens here in the church. It begins at 1 p.m. and finishes at 1:30, a quiet and inspiring time in the middle of your week. The book club meets on the last Wednesday of every month in the church vestry at 7:30, and all are welcome. The next Unitarian walk will be led by Marcus to the miners' village in Glendalough. So meeting up at the Upper Lake car park at 10:30 on the 30th of November. Now there are 3 food trucks open there in the morning. I don't know if they're open during the winter, but the walkers have a WhatsApp group. So it's great for a bit of church gossip as well as information on the walking. Membership. So on Sunday the 8th of December, we will have a short service for those wishing to become members, for those who wish to sign our membership book. So those who have taken forms, please return them to Bridget. Now for those wishing to become a voting member of this church, signing the membership book is the first step. And having signed the book, if you wish to become a voting member, you may fill in a form and return it to the membership secretary, who is Colette. Now, existing voting members must renew their membership annually by the 31st of December. So everyone does that every year. If you are active on a church rota, the membership secretary has automatically renewed your membership, and you will have received an email to inform you of this. So you will have received an email about that. If not, you need to renew your membership by filling out the forms which are here and putting it into the envelope provided. You can simply put your envelope in the offertory box. So any questions on that, please see Rory. At 2 p.m. today, a very special service is happening. HUG is an organization offering support to those bereaved by suicide. It's an annual service that is happening here, and it is at 2:00 today. Everyone is welcome to join. And then on Saturday, the 23rd of November at 7:30, TENI, which is the Transgender Equality Network of Ireland, will have their annual service in the church. And it would be wonderful if you could support that. That is Saturday, the 23rd of November at 7:30. The choir are getting ready for the carol service, and you will have heard us practice earlier today. The carol service will be the 15th of December this year. And if you are willing to join us, there's plenty of time. And that is our notices. Let us now sing our final hymn, which is number 32, Now Thank We All Our God. Our closing prayer. If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have heard some wisdom and truth, go and share it with others. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. God of the wind, God of the sun, God of our most precious world, bless us all in our diversity. Bless this, our beloved community. And in whatever small or large piece of earth and sky we occupy, let us all seek to build beloved community. Amen.